Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? Welcome to the Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more in the Around the World podcast. For this episode of the podcast, I sat down to talk with Honey Sharma from Jaipur, Rajasthan in India. Honey has a unique way of seeing the world. He spent a lot of time on cargo ships as an employee. So we talked about this adventure travel lifestyle on the high seas, and we discussed small town life in India in great detail. Please enjoy my conversation with Honey Sharma.
Hello, everyone. I'm here in Vashisht in Himachal Pradesh in India. And I've been here in the area, at least, for about a month now. Crazy how time flies. And I'm here with Honey. And what's your last name, Honey?
Sharma.
Honey Sharma. And where are you from?
I'm from Jaipur, Rajasthan.
Jaipur, Rajasthan in India.
Yeah, it's a vast state of India. Like, bordering to Pakistan, south of Delhi, southwest.
Okay, and cool. And like I said, I've been here for a little while. I came here originally to climb, and I've done just about everything but climb. With my partner and I have run into a couple of little difficulties with injuries and illnesses, and so we've abandoned just about all of our dreams of climbing some big stuff in India. So, but I guess that gives us a chance to come back for more later. And I've done a lot of travel, and it's still been a really nice trip. Just starting to wind it down. I've only got about a week left, but I've been hanging out with Honey as well for the last couple days. And how do you like living here?
Yeah, I'm living in Manali for the last 2 years.
Yeah? And you enjoy it?
Yeah,
What do you like about it?
Like, I'm being close to mountains and the nature, like the quiet part, and it have like a nice mix of like everything. I can go out and wild pretty easily, and then everything is available in town. So
yeah, it's a pretty small town, but definitely it has most things that I'm used to getting in a western town. No McDonald's or anything like that, but plenty of food that's from a variety of places and outside of India, and as well as Indian food. It's beautiful here, though. That's the big thing that struck me. It's the Himalayas, and they're just in the background all the time, and a lot of snow, a lot of big mountains,
yeah.
Cool weather. I came from Delhi. I started in Delhi.
It's too hot in Delhi.
It's so hot in Delhi. It's unreal. Yeah, I was just drinking water all day, and I just couldn't keep hydrated.
That's
there.
Good, yeah.
But I still got dehydrated. I just couldn't keep enough water in me, no matter what I did. But came up here in the mountains, and it's not like a particularly high elevation. It's like, 2,000 meters here?
2,000 meters, yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, 6,500 feet. And but it's enough that it's not overwhelmingly hot, so it's really nice climate, at least for this time of year in June. So what do you do here?
I'm living here for the last 2 years, and then for living right now I'm doing a marketing project. We are promoting the places, we are promoting the Manali, like offbeat scene of Manali, mostly like good eating places right now, and then like best experiences where to shop, and with that we're compiling a guide of Manali, and with that we are selling discounts to the travelers to get the so that they'll know about this place and they can get some complimentary some discounts, so encourage them to go to these places.
Okay, so you're kind of helping out people who come here by showing them the best food and stuff like that in the city, and helping local businesses too.
Yeah, like not helping them exactly, but it's like we are getting them close together and earning by this. So
Yeah, yeah, okay. And make it a few bucks yourself, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, my plan is to buy a paraglider, like, by October.
A paraglider?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to remind me, is paragliding with a parachute?
Paragliding is, parachute is, like, kind of jumping from height to reduce your speed. But paraglider is, like, it's a glider where you can glide.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have controls, you can go in directions, you can climb up also using lifting gear.
Okay, so no motor.
No just, motor, yeah.
You just glide through the air, huh?
Yeah.
And you're into this? Or have you done it before?
So I've done the basic courses, so I can paraglide on my own.
Okay.
I need to buy a glider to do it.
Ah, okay. So, well, how long does it take to get certified or whatever it is to go on your
own? There's no certification in India so far, but like
okay.
So for your own safety.
Yeah.
But like the normal courses are like this 15-day course. It's divided in three small courses, P1, P2, P3. And that's like in 15 days, around 10 hours of flying, you can fly without instruction.
Mm.
But it's like you should only fly from the well-known spots, well-known places.
Uh-huh.
So where you learn, like from your school.
Are those also safer places to fly from? Or?
Yeah, they're like, it depends upon a place. Like you can fly from a lot many places, but there's well-known sites, paragliding sites, where they know how the wind behaves, and it's like
okay, got it. So that's important to know, I guess. With this type of activity, is the wind?
Yeah.
Is the wind consistent, or what kind of conditions do you need with wind?
Like just to glide, it should be stable, not very. I'll say the force should be less. Should not be. It's just like a breeze is fine.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing really strong though.
No, nothing strong. You don't fly.
And
a good clear weather, and a sunny day is good. Partly cloudy. That's good. That's good to fly. You get some thermals there. Like you can climb down lifting air.
Okay. So it depends on the air temperature as well.
Well, see, not much on temperature, but on humidity and pressure and everything like that.
Mm. So there's a lot of stuff you have to kind of check on before you go.
Yeah, but normally it's like seasons. So, now it's not a good season to fly. But in this place, like Himachal,
yeah.
But for at my stage, like for me, but now the next season will be October, post monsoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Until October and November will be flyable, and December things will get a bit strong again.
Oh, the winds pick up again.
Yeah, winds and temperatures goes down, so you can't stay for long.
Oh yeah. Well, how cold does it get here?
Like I've spent last winters here,
yeah,
and the minimum was like -6 degrees Celsius.
-6, that's pretty cold.
But that's the coldest night, like it's
that's
normally hover around what, zero, sub zero at night, early morning.
Does it actually snow in Manali?
Last winter's not, but previous to that, good,
a little bit
good snow. Yeah,
okay.
The first snowfall we got like for continuous 40 hours or so. There's 3 feet of snow around this place.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Snowed for 3 days, and there was no electricity in the valley for like next 7 days.
Whoa.
So the whole valley is like white and no electricity, and it's like on the moon.
Yeah.
Glows.
Well, so were people like dropping dead from the cold or what?
No, normal people are not they don't rely on electricity for their heating in winters.
Oh, okay.
It's firewood, they have tandoors in their house, so.
Oh, so they have other means to heat their homes.
Yeah, and they can cook on that also.
Okay. And obviously, I'm here in summer and it doesn't seem to get too hot, so hey, this is a good climate for me, for sure.
Yeah.
It's still not as cold as where I'm from, but nice. Yeah, I'm liking the mountains.
How bad it goes in your place?
In Wisconsin, boy, usually in January, it's the whole month it's below freezing.
Okay.
It maybe will get like one day where it gets to like 2 degrees above zero Celsius, and minus, really cold temperatures are not unheard of at all. So -15 will get that every year. minus 30 once every few years. We'll get a spell of that.
And winds also, like strong winds.
Sometimes, yeah. A couple of years ago, we had these polar vortexes, they're called, which yeah. I don't fully understand it, but cold air coming from the North Pole or from the Arctic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got these really, really cold few days. But something about that kind of those extreme weather that I actually really enjoy. Just okay. Short spells of it.
There's snow also? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we have a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the last, I don't know, since I've grown up, it's maybe winter seems to get later, but then we've had a few really strong winters too, and a couple of winters in the last decade that have been like almost nothing at all, so it seems to be more erratic than it used to be, but I don't know. I haven't really studied this stuff to know any details.
Yeah, but you moved also out of the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I moved to Beijing in China, and that's also a cold climate in the winter.
Yeah.
Not as cold as Wisconsin, but they don't really get snow, though. They get a little bit, but it's there's definitely days where it's plenty cold enough to snow, but it's just a dry climate. But then summer gets really hot in Beijing, so... I don't like summer at all. There, spring and fall are great. Just really nice, mild weather. Yeah, but I don't know. I've lived in places and traveled through places where there's not really seasons, and I don't know. I just something about the seasons always changing is kind of always reminding me like of life is moving and progressing, and just seems so normal for me that being somewhere with consistent temperatures year round, I don't think I could. I don't think I would like that long term.
But that's also like if you're traveling, then seasons change more rapidly for when you travel than the normal who are staying in one place.
Yeah, for sure. If you're moving fast, that's true. If you're flying places, that's why I don't like. Yeah. Actually, I don't like flying either, kind of because of that. It's just too fast.
Yeah.
I like the slow change and the consistent change, but it's just weird for me to get in the plane and it's like, you know, minus 10, and then a few hours later get off and it's like 30. And it's just like, what's going on?
I can understand that.
It messes with my head too much, you know? The other thing that, like, I kind of have learned to really enjoy is the changing of daylight in the northern latitudes.
That's a significant change here.
Yeah, yeah. So summers have a lot of daylight and winters have less. And I kind of like both ends of it.
And it also depends, like, how close you are to tropic or equator. The latitudes.
Tropical latitudes, they pretty much get 12 hours year
during
round.
During summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Spring? No, not around the year. Like in near tropic, it's like largest day is near March. So, yeah. So that's like, and then in summer, it's equal day, equal night.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, in winters, no fucks, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's a large portion of India, I guess.
Yeah. No, but down south, it's like almost equatorial.
Yeah, right. Ooh, is it like really hot down south? I haven't gone down there yet.
I haven't been like... in India, I haven't been down south.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been down south to equator and south southern hemisphere. So.
Oh, where have you been? In like the southern hemisphere.
Australia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So then, no, not many places. Yeah, Australia.
Yeah.
Maybe Colombia, but it's like it's above equator.
Colombia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of Colombia is above the equator.
Yeah, I've I was a sailor before, so I've crossed Cape of Good Hope. So that's like south of equator.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Oh, you've been a lot of places. Actually, I'm trying to think of Colombia in my head now. No, I'm pretty sure it does cross the equator.
Yeah.
Because Peru, the very northern part of Peru. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Panama is around equator.
Touches.
So, no?
Panama?
Yeah.
Panama is definitely north of the equator.
North. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's very, like, very close to equator.
They're close-ish. They don't border each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, Ecuador is right on the equator. That one's pretty obvious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there's this mountain in Ecuador. I think it's called Cayambe, which is right on the equator, and it has snow on it, permanent snow.
Okay.
So that's kind of weird to imagine standing on the equator and being in snow. But it happens.
Yeah, it's in in Africa also, Kilimanjaro.
Oh yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah. Have you been to Kilimanjaro?
No.
Mm.
Never in like. I've only traveled to the coastal cities, coastal countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, never in like mainland. No.
Is this travel for work or just for fun?
It's work.
Yeah.
I was a sailor, so used to go with a boat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So how did you become a sailor?
Just like out of school, I opted for it.
Wanted to
travel. Yeah. And then it's a good money in it. So, and I got an admission in a good academy. So
yeah,
I opted for it. I went for it.
Is this the military or?
No, it's a merchant marine.
Ah, okay. Okay. And you ride on what, big cargo ships?
Yeah, cargo ships. So it was like, yeah, oil tankers mostly.
Okay. Driving oil around the world and
yeah.
Huh, interesting. So that's why you only went to coastal cities then. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you've been to every continent except Antarctica or?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, cool. It's a great way to see the world, I guess.
Yeah. But you won't get much time to go out and visit a town or a city. Like, it's like if ship is there, depending upon the type of ship, your port stay. So normally nowadays port stays are like very short, so you don't get much chance to go out and see. There's a lot of work. You have to be like very careful while the port operations. So
okay, any problems with pirates?
No. I've been to piracy area many times, but
The pirate sea. Is that what you said?
Piracy. So where the pirate normally attacks.
Ah, yeah.
Like in Malacca Strait, near Singapore, south of Malaysia.
Okay. So there's well-known spots for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to be more careful in those areas. And yeah, no, nothing much. They are not like, they just like, mostly they come for some loose stuff. They steal it and go.
They just take some of your cargo and take off?
Not cargo. That's like on a... Like, that's... cargo piracy is just near, like, west coast of Africa. Near... I forgot the name of that country, but...
Well, Somalia is the big one, right?
Somalia was a big one. Now it's like...
That's kind of out of style now, the Somali pirates.
But it's been... I guess all Somalian pirates are like maybe... They moved to Yemen or something. No, it's not much in the like Gulf of Aden now.
That's the trendy spot if you want to be a pirate, is to move to Yemen. That's
no, spot. Somalia was, but yeah. I don't know. Now it's diminished. It used to be much bad before, but now it's very less. But now, like in that place, you always go in convoy with armed and like naval vessels.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so. It's very reduced, like.
So is that why it's less now? Do you think because there's more awareness and more guards and can't mess with these cargo ships so easily?
Maybe that's one of a factor, or maybe like how Somalia or this area is changing, some changes in that area. Maybe the pirates are not like able to do it now. Before they used to hijack ships, like. Take them and keep them for years and then take hostage.
It was scary for a while.
It was.
Captured that whole oil tanker.
Many ships, oil tankers, big cargo ship, this container vessels, everything. Yeah. So there was a big vessel of my, like, my last company was Maersk Lines. It's an Danish company. So they have, like, they are the biggest container and oil tanker company. So they're one ship, container vessel, like, got hijacked. And there's a Hollywood movie also on it, Captain Phillip.
So, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I don't really keep up with Hollywood movies, so this is a new one.
Good watch.
Captain Phillip.
It came, like, 2-3 years back.
Oh, all right.
It's good. And yeah, and these are very like, I like that actor Tom Hanks. He played the captain of the ship.
Oh, okay. Well, I do know him. Yeah.
It's a good watch.
He's well known for being in tropical water type movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Stuck on Island or...
Yeah, Stuck on an Island or whatever. Playing with volleyballs. Any volleyballs in this one?
Volleyballs?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed it. Yeah.
No?
No, okay. I don't think so. It's like not possible to play volleyball on a ship.
No, probably not a good idea.
Yes. Yeah.
You lose your ball, it's gone.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you've got like a whole container vessel of volleyballs. Yeah, and then it just makes sense.
Yeah. But we used to play football on ship, like...
Football, soccer?
Soccer, yeah.
Yeah.
So my first ship was a bulk carrier, so it had big holds for grain and everything. So
yeah.
After the grains, like the holds are empty, after we clean them, prepare for the next cargo, you can like go inside them and play football.
Oh, and it's big enough?
Soccer, yeah. It's so huge.
Oh, the ship itself holds the grain?
Yeah.
It's
not in containers. It has big holds.
Oh, okay. Tanks. Wow, that must be a lot then, huh?
Yeah, so it carries, like the ship I used to sail on, used to carry around 40,000 tons of cargo.
40,000 tons?
Yes, fully loaded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and...
That's not the biggest one. They're like, the biggest one used to carry 200,000, 300,000 tons.
Huh, and so the big ones... are they big enough that they can no longer fit through the Panama Canal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call it Panamax. So
Panamax.
Yeah. So the biggest size which can go through Panama Canal.
Sounds like an old VCR, Panamax. So if you're bigger than Panamax, you have to go around Cape Horn, is that right?
The Panamax have to go around like south of South America.
Yeah.
That's Cape Horn.
Yeah.
And you have to go in this beautiful, like south of Argentina.
Yeah.
You have to go in like this, a border with icebergs and...
Right, all those glaciers.
Yeah.
You have to do it. You're just forced to.
Yeah.
I was in Panama, how many years was it? 2008.
Okay.
And I saw the canal and I was like fascinated by it, by how fast the ships can go up and down. But at that time, they were building these new locks in the canal.
They're
done?
Big one. Not yet done. Like, I was also there in 2009. I've crossed Panama Canal thrice that year. That time, that was the main channel. They were working on another bigger canal. But it's not yet done.
Still not done?
Yeah. They're finding some difficulty in the project. So.
Okay.
Or, like I lost touch... in last few years, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's like done.
I also heard, I think there was a proposal originally before the Panama Canal was built to build it in Nicaragua, and I heard maybe they're going to do that anyway, like now, and it would accommodate bigger ships and be probably not good for if you run the Panama Canal because there's competition.
Yeah.
But. Have you heard about that?
I have heard of it.
Mm.
So they wanted to use, like, there's a big river in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And, they can connect from Gulf of Mexico to that.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's, like, the better way.
I guess they could go through Lake Nicaragua and...
Right now?
Or no, I mean, if they did it.
They need to build some locks and then connect to the ocean and something like this. And then they can... It's like... It's possible, and maybe they're working on it. So I heard that like there's a project coming up for that. So they're making it one.
Hmm. So then we'll have like a Nicar Max.
Yeah.
To compete with Panamax.
But now it's like the ships, at present, they're not making big ships. They found like making them big is not very very good. Make more ships than big ships. They're not that efficient. They're not that fast. They're not that, like, if the trade is changing, then It's not good for tramping, but if on a fixed route, like you're carrying ore from Brazil to China or something on fixed routes like this,
yeah,
bigger routes, then yeah, then it's worth it else.
Oh, so if it's going around the world in different places, then just not so good, huh? That's interesting. I just always assume that bigger is better. Just my mindset.
Not always.
No. Huh. Well, so maybe we've reached the max ship size then.
Maybe for time being. Maybe. Since we'll like catch this thing again, like we need to make bigger and all. So.
Yeah, okay.
But now it's the shipping market is not like moving very well. So there's more ships than the cargo available. So, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
It was right, like, in, like, last year, it was, like, the situation, I don't know about
that. Yeah. Is that when you stopped, last year?
No, I've stopped before, like, I've stopped in April 2014.
Okay. So, 2 years?
2 years.
2 years ago, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, what made you stop working on this?
I don't know exactly what exactly the motivation was, but manufacturer was involved in that. Like I was getting less chance to travel because the ship is
ironically.
I thought it's gonna do me. I'll travel a lot, but
yeah,
like you're like you're going to places but you not get chance to go and visit them.
Yeah,
so it's like a bit depressing, like you have been in
that
city and you're just like,
it's almost worse than staying at home.
Yeah,
like going around the world and seeing nothing. So you decided to come into the mountains.
So the plan was to like explore India, and my plan was to fly, do paraglide, take it more seriously. So yeah, I've quit, traveled a bit, and did some tracks and all, and I found I came to Manali and I found it like it's a good place to spend some time. Yeah, so.
For sure, I can definitely see how you'd stay here for a while. Well, maybe not in Manali, but I've been staying in Vashisht, which is this just little village outside the town, and just so nice and quiet. We've got a cow outside of our hotel room. Yeah, we call her Moo Moo because she moves a lot. She, when we first moved or first started coming here. There were two cows, and we're pretty sure the other one was her mom. And now the mom is missing. We haven't seen her. We think, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but we think Moo Moo is mooing so much because she misses her mom.
Must be. She wanted to talk to her mom.
Yeah, no response. I wonder what happened. I mean, this is a country where... I kind of knew there were cows in the roads in India, like people had talked about it. I didn't realize how prevalent it was. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You just, it's on a daily basis you see cows walking down the road. And
cows and dogs?
Dogs, there's so many stray dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that I've seen in other countries. I've never been to a country where cows just freely roam the streets, like all over the place. Mm. And
they'll eat them, right?
Just like, in most countries, yeah, yeah. Cows are safe here, though.
Safe, yeah.
Safer, at least.
But these all are domestic cows, so people use them to milk, and in the daytime, they just, like, let them loose or take them to grazing something.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, Moo, she must have a barn nearby, because her owner brings her out and chains her to this brick wall. And so she doesn't have a ton of space to move around. That's kind of sad. But then they bring out these giant piles of grass or various grazing material. And she'll just graze there all day and move a lot.
Try to move a lot.
She'll do what?
Try to move a lot.
I'll try to move, yeah.
I'll move a lot, yeah.
And she moves.
Yeah, missing her mom. That's the only companion she had.
Yeah. And then they take her away, and I've heard they give her a bath every day, so that's nice.
Oh, yeah, that's because it's pretty hot for. Like in the daytime, it gets really hot if it's sunny enough.
Yeah, it does. It gets
relatively. For the local climate, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess as far as if you have to be a cow somewhere in the world, it's there's worse places than India.
Yeah.
At least
my hair is good.
My peer, they seem to be in pretty good shape too. They're not like emaciated.
But if you've been tied to like a small
wall
anywhere,
they don't have much freedom of movement. Mm. That's a little sad.
That's the case of most of the cow. When they're not on road, they must be tied somewhere.
Like, right.
Moving.
Mm. Other thing I see a lot of is sheep and goats here, especially around sunset. These herders just seem to come out of nowhere, and they're herding. They're moving their entire herd right down the road, and so the cars have to just honk and try to get by them and not run into them.
That's a seasonal thing.
Seasonal.
Yeah, every season it happens. Like this is a time when shepherds they'll take all this herd to the meadows up high up and for grazing
during the day.
No, like they move every day, so they're moving for a long distance. They are like for a long time. They'll stay up for 1-2 months during monsoon. They'll stay up, and then by end of monsoon, they'll start coming down.
Okay, so every day they need to search for fresh grass to graze on.
Yeah, because the herd is big, and then
They must eat a lot. Yeah, it's interesting how. I don't know, it's people's, or just daily life here seems to be much closer to the natural world, I guess, for, I don't know how else to put it, than what we'd have in the States.
Like, yeah, to live, like, you need to be dependent upon the natural resources a lot. If you have a cow, if you have an animal in your house, like for milk or something, it's always good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, most of the people here in the village, they have their own... like animal, bunch of animal, cow or
most
sheep,
people do.
Yeah, most.
Huh. Yeah.
Those who live in village. So yeah, that's like what they do. That's the normal thing. They farm. They have fields. They have orchards, and they have herd to take them to graze, and then they tend the fields and all. So. They're farmer.
But now. Do you think most people here eat meat or at all, or most are veg? Or
it's here in Himachal. It's most people eat meat.
Most people do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At least up in mountains. Yeah.
Okay. Because it's another unique thing about India. It's the only country I've been to where it's really easy to get vegetarian food anywhere, and it's not like a strange thing. I mean, I guess in the States it's not like weird to be vegetarian, but the kind of the default is to have meat with every meal, and a lot of countries like in China, I mean, it's not really a thing to be a vegetarian, and like it's just weird if you don't want meat.
Mm-hmm.
They love meat.
Yeah, here too. It's same like up in north parts. I guess all across India, people love meat.
They do.
A few places, like dry places. I'll say Rajasthan or Gujarat that I know. Most people are vegetarian. There's no good meat options around. So
it's not because it's not a conscious decision for health reasons or whatever. It's just because they just don't have access to it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like this is the reason. Main reason, like what's available around you. That will be like the thing what you eat.
Another interesting thing I've noticed just moving around, I've only been to a very small part of India, but it seems whenever I get on a bus, I never see like vast fields of nothing, and I never see big cities.
Yeah.
It's just town after town after town. So there's people everywhere, but I don't think I've seen, outside of Delhi, I don't think I've seen a building taller than like 5 stories. Yeah,
they're decentralized, like they spread
very
everywhere.
Yeah,
not big, but like on flat.
But flat, whereas China now, at least nowadays, has a lot of giant cities and actually quite a bit of wide open farmland too. So the landscape looks a lot different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are fields, like in mountains it's difficult for continuous fields, but if you go down in plains,
okay,
you down find south. Like yeah, south or central India, or like if you go to Punjab, Haryana, yeah. Rajasthan, yeah. Like yeah, everywhere, like south of the mountains,
okay.
Field, giant fields.
So I guess that's part of my I was going to say my own fault or my own experience. It's just I kind of get that my experience in India is not typical, because I've just gone to like the mountain, a few mountain places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, I'll have to.
It's a big country.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I'll have to come back sometime and just spend a lot more time in this country and explore it, because it is so big. And
yeah, it's in plains, the south, like it's winter is the best time to travel.
Oh, winter. Okay.
Yeah. So that's good. Like it's in winters you can go down south, and in summers you can come up north. So like this interesting thing about Old Manali, the small town just across the valley. So there is mostly cafes and things, the shops and everything. It's like in the summers people stay here, and they have same setup in Goa, southwest of India, west. And in the summers they stay here, in winters they move down to Goa. So it's like
So they just kind of migrate back and forth.
Migrate, yeah.
Yeah.
And in monsoon time they'll move to Leh. They like go on vacation to Leh. So this is a lot many people. It's like they migrate from one place to another place.
Okay. And are these like retired people or are
No, they are travelers. Like those
foreign travelers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay.
So yeah, so with them the cafes and everything also they move, so same cafes here, same cafe,
uh-huh.
Same name, same owner, so they close down here in winters
to
Goa, and in summers like they close down there and they come up here, and the travelers also, so they have like nice nomadic thing to move.
It's interesting, huh? Yeah, and I've run into a few people who seem to just live in this village who are foreigners. They just kind of like it here and just stick around. I mean,
yeah,
it is quite cheap to live here. And yeah, I can see it being appealing. What about, so you said Leh, they moved during the monsoon, and that's coming really soon, right? The monsoon?
It's about time for monsoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, say like it's in the mainland India, it's in the plains, it's already like entered Indian coast, and soon like it's pre-monsoon here. You see every day, every afternoon it's mostly rain, and then
yeah, we've been getting a little bit of rain
nowadays.
And Leh is relatively shielded from the monsoon,
yeah, from the mountains here,
uh-huh.
So the lower Himalayas, no, so the Panjal range and everything, they'll just stop the clouds here.
Oh, got it. Okay, because I was up there about 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another beautiful place, and the ride to get there was amazing.
That's cold desert.
Yeah, it kind of transitioned, because here in Manali it's really wet. There's like rivers and there's just water everywhere. I mean, you've got hot springs here that are just flowing constantly, and there's women washing clothes out in the town, and it seems like the water is just always on, like you couldn't even turn it off if you wanted.
Yeah.
There's just so much water flowing here.
Yeah, now people don't close tap here, like in mountains and all.
They don't? Or is it just this time of year when the snow's all melting, or is it year-round that it's so wet?
It's snow, and there's a big glaciers which are feeding these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that all snow is melting right now. It's what we got in winters. It's melting, and the glaciers...
Yeah.
So.
Huh. But so this drive went from this kind of climate to Leh, which is like desert, just really dry.
So there's a big wall of mountains that's separating this area to that place.
Yeah, well, I found that out firsthand. The road happens to go over several really high passes.
Yeah.
I think one of them was about 5,300 meters.
Yeah, the third highest of India.
Yeah.
Before it used to be the third highest of, I guess, second highest of India, but they call it Tangla.
Yeah, right, right. And I think, Yeah, I think there was even a sign on the top that said second highest or something. And it's a little anticlimactic because it's the road. The road's a little bit flat, almost. It's uphill, but yeah. Not dramatically uphill, not really steep. And then around this pass, it's kind of flat. And there's mountains further away, but it's almost like being, I guess, the Tibetan Plateau.
Yeah,
or,
so it's a part of Tibetan Plateau.
Oh, it's part of the Tibetan Plateau.
It's
yeah.
Just before Himalayas, it's like the other side of Himalayas. Tibet is beyond it. So it's, well, it's south of Himalayas.
Yeah. But so even if I couldn't really see just by looking out the window that, yeah, we're at 17,000 feet, I could definitely feel it just walking around. Like, I got out of breath very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Must be, I wonder how much altitude sickness there is just from driving. Or if it's sad. Maybe not.
Yeah, not much. Like, it depends if how fast you're going.
Yeah.
And then if you're acclimatized to this, then if you're going there and not spending time up at that height, coming down again.
Then it's okay. Yeah, it probably takes like 6 hours, eight hours for it to hit. But then back down, and even Leh is pretty high though. What is it, like 3,500, I think, meters?
Or don't
like
know exactly.
11,000 feet maybe. So it's a pretty high town. Beautiful in its own way, but just total desert.
Together and strong winds, but the big river,
right
in the valley. It's a large, huge valley.
Oh yeah. Well, I took another bus then from Leh to Srinagar. We went through a valley there. I'm not sure if that's the one you're thinking of.
Kargil.
Yeah, through Kargil. Yeah. That was another beautiful ride. This landscape is just awesome.
Never been in Kashmir, but yeah, hard.
Yeah, yeah. Once we got properly into Kashmir, it wasn't as cool of a landscape, I don't think. There's not as many mountains, and the snow kind of just ends. But up there around Kargil is just amazing. I don't know, I meet a lot of people who are doing, have done or are doing similar bus routes as me, and these rides are like 22 hours, 24 hours on the bus.
Yeah,
and most of the roads are not paved or paved pretty poorly and really bumpy. So a lot of folks are complaining to me, and it's like this camaraderie that, okay, we got through that ride, or... I took Valium for that ride, people say all the time. It's like, it seems to be the thing to do.
It's but, pretty tough.
Yeah, but it's so beautiful. It's just, I wanted to do these both of these rides from Manali to Leh and then Leh to Srinagar. I wanted to do as much as possible during the day because it's just such amazing landscapes. And
so best way, like, you can also ride a bike to pay or... Many people cycle also.
Yeah,
motorbike or the mountain bike.
I think we saw one guy on a bicycle, and he looked maybe happier than he should have looked. He was he was carrying a lot of stuff. He was pedaling uphill, so a lot of weight. Must be really difficult.
Must be
Yeah.
But you have ease. Like, just stay wherever you want and. Just stay for how long you want to. And just
that's true. You can just there's these things called dabas. You run into one every hour at least, and it's basically just a big tent and a shop inside of it.
Yeah, you can just eat and then sleep there. There's beds.
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine and I we rented a motorcycle yesterday and we're riding around. And just said, and he's looking at my ankle. I burned my ankle on a tailpipe, which that was the downside. That's part of why we're not climbing. One of many injuries and just bad things that happen on this trip.
And then the puja, right? You should have like asked the gods before. You should like
puja. Yeah. Oh, I should have done that, huh?
Yeah.
They probably would have said, "Don't do it. Don't get on that bike." But anyway. For the most part, it was good. But we stopped at this daba for lunch. And, I mean, we spent, like, less than a dollar and just hung out and drank chai and ate snacks. And I just talked with the owner. The owners always seem to be like these cool guys who live a nomadic life or live in a little village.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, the dabbas are up there among my favorite things in India, actually. I really like them.
Yeah. That's like, if you want to taste what you call Indian food,
yeah,
normal people eat, it's like these places, the dabbas, where they eat mostly. So
yeah, and they don't have like a big menu or anything. Mm-hmm. You just ask for lunch, and they just make you whatever they have on hand. So it's the same stuff they're eating, and then they live in these tents. And so a lot of the time, when you come into a dabba, you're sitting on the owner's bed,
yeah,
and eating. I don't know. It's just a cool thing. It's a cozy feeling, and mm-hmm. I was trying to picture maybe them building a dabba at like a rest stop in the U.S., like on the freeway. You come in and get a cup of chai. And
oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Well, 10 rupees probably wouldn't be enough motivation for, like it. So you have to charge a little more than 10 rupees.
But you get chance to meet like very interesting people on the way. Like they come, stop by, and then they talk to you.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I guess if this whole podcasting thing takes off and I just become a multimillionaire, then you know I can retire and live the good life as a dabba owner.
Or maybe that's like the dabba could be a podcast station where everyone is coming, they'll give a podcast and then you'll sell them tea.
Yeah, there you go. I could give you a free chai as long as you'll podcast with me.
Yeah.
I won't even charge you 10 rupees.
But how will live, how will pay for the tea?
Oh, that's the true. Well,
you can't do it full time.
I'd have to be rich already.
Yeah.
Well, I'll think about this. Maybe I'll come up with a better business plan. Maybe I'll charge like 20 rupees.
Yeah. To those who don't want to give podcast, and then doesn't want to give, they get something.
Yeah.
Or maybe work. Yeah. It's like these many talk shows on TVs where like.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee with this guy. So like, yeah.
Oh yeah, the
chai with Dan.
Chai with Dan. I like it. Yeah, that could be like the Jerry Seinfeld show. Yeah, I like that one. Huh? Chai and chat. Chai and chat with Dan.
Chai and chat.
Ah, I'll have to rename this podcast then. Chai and chat with Dan podcast.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good name.
Yeah, for sure. Chai's kind of been a daily ritual for me too here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I was in Delhi, I just sat down and had chai on the street. I met so many cool people. But yeah, probably not advised. I got sick, like maybe not from the chai, but I got sick.
Yeah, chai is boiled. So yeah. maybe. But that's a good, cool hangout. It's always like, that's a hangout place. And
right, yeah. All these guys are coming.
Yeah, people are coming in, they're talking, they're sitting over.
It's a gathering place.
Yeah.
For sure. The newspaper delivery guys would come up on their bicycles. And it's something I haven't seen in a while. Like a guy on a bicycle throwing newspapers to houses. That's just kind of this, for me at least, I think of it as a relic of the past. It's alive and well here. And all these guys will get together and grab a cup of chai together and talk about whatever's happening in the world. And,
yeah.
This old guy started talking to me, who's from the neighborhood, and he told the guy making the chai was just sitting on the ground, and the ground is not a, or he's sitting on a little cushion, I guess, on the ground, but it's not a very clean place. It's like, it's full on, like everything's happening there on the ground, and there's a lot of, like we were talking about, a lot of cows in the streets and dogs, and you can imagine the kind of presence those animals leave behind on the road for you to step in and whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of smells in this country. And
this is a good place to have a dhaba.
Have a dhaba?
Yeah, but to open a dhaba, or you're like, right. Not go to the dhabas at these places. Yeah, always good dhabas around, like you can find barons.
Oh yeah, well this wasn't even a dhaba, it was just some guy, but he was
tea stall
yeah So you're sitting there, and this old guy said, hey, next round of chai, you need to make it with ginger, so that this foreigner will keep coming back for more. He told him that in Hindi, and then he translated to me. Mm-hmm. And the guy making the chai went, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And he took out some ginger and just started crushing it next to him on the ground. I'm like, oh, no. This is a bad idea.
Like, bad idea.
I just chucked it in the pot, you know, and, like, along with everything else that...
You had that tea?
Stuck to it. Yeah, I had the tea because... I'm thinking about it, like, well, what's worse? You know, I don't want to offend this poor kid and mm-hmm. tell him he's being unsanitary. But then I don't want to get sick. So yeah. In the end, I decided, like you said, it's boiling. So whatever kind of residue was on the ground is hopefully going to be boiled away. I think that was pretty safe still, but. I took a lot of risks when I came here. Just, I'm like, whatever. I'll just eat any food off the street, and that didn't go over so well.
It's a bit different here. Like,
Okay. It's just hard. Like, for foreigners, our stomachs just aren't used to the food and water here. And I think for me, probably what got me is water. Mm-hmm. And I drink only bottled water, but I've heard people will refill bottles with tap water. And they've got sophisticated ways of even sealing the bottle back up, and it's almost inevitable if you come to India, you just get sick at some point.
Yeah, can say
get the deli belly. Luckily, it hasn't hit me that hard.
You need to be careful, like in choosing what you're getting. So if you know. What not to have and what to have, you can pretty much avoid it. So, like out in mountains here, like in Manali and surroundings, we use to drink water out of tap because it's mostly like spring water coming down.
Yeah.
Well, like, but out in plains, no, tap waters are not good to drink. Mm. So, you must have a filter or something.
Yeah, I'm still afraid, even the. Maybe it's irrational, but even in the mountains where I see a hose coming out or something, I'm afraid to drink it because there's always animals grazing nearby. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you'll drink tap water here?
Yeah, but that's like if you see there's pipelines, so the water from the stream, pipelines for the water is coming like from the mountains from long distance.
Ah, okay. So
there's a big pipes and then they're coming at one place and then it's junction. And the source of that water is like, which is like underground, started from somewhere underground, so it's not like open stream.
Oh, okay.
Like all the villages here and everything, like the villagers, they drink that water. And it's like coming here for many ages, so it's not close to the grazing ground, it's not open source, it's coming in big pipes. And all.
Yeah, that does sound safe.
Mm-hmm. But not at all places. So, like what's at home and other places is good. But I don't know about commercial places.
Okay.
So maybe they've rooted the water from.
Yeah, it's just hard to know.
Hard to know. That's the thing.
And you just don't know like where you're gonna get sick either. I found, just from my past travels, I've gotten sick from food and water in like nicer places, nicer restaurants, and then I've eaten so much street food in my life. And almost never get sick, so it's like, who knows?
Yeah.
I just try to search for stalls that have a lot of people going to them, where they're cooking food thoroughly. Sometimes it's better just to not even like look in the kitchen or anything, and try not to see it, because I've eaten at a couple restaurants in town here where you can see them making the food, and it makes me cringe because, like, I saw there's one cutting board and this lady's just chopping up vegetables and then she throws some chicken on top and chops that up and then more vegetables without washing it in between.
So if you're a vegetarian, then it's a bit hard.
Well, that too, yeah. You're right, not only from germs, but from the meat mixing with the vegetables. I guess you can't be super strict about it then, huh?
I'll just go at like pure vegetarian place with it.
Oh, right. Yeah, some signs here say pure veg. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's
like a wedge issue will be solved there, but the cleanliness issue might be the same. Might remain the same.
The cleanliness? Yeah, right. Well, yeah, it's just it's all part of the experience here.
But I guess like if you not pay attention to the details, maybe like I don't know, maybe not feel like fell sick. You not see it, what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Does it work like that? A placebo effect? Like
placebo, yeah. Or nocebo.
Nocebo.
I think is what they call it, right? When you expect something to harm you,
mm-hmm.
and then you feel that harm. Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see that. I don't know, I mean who knows?
I'm eating like the same food for long. Yeah, but
yeah.
Last time I felt sick, I don't know, out of seafood.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think when you travel, at least for me, I just want to try it all, and it's just part. Like I wouldn't feel as satisfied if I just ate like McDonald's every day when I travel. So even though actually going to McDonald's can be fun too in different countries, see what the food, like what the differences are.
Yeah, it's very different here than like what you have in States.
Oh yeah, so I haven't seen a McDonald's yet in India, but they have them.
They have.
Yeah.
Like in all major cities, they have.
Oh, okay. But no beef, or how's it work?
Yeah, no beef. Normally, like it's mostly chicken or fish.
So they sell a chicken burger or like a chicken sandwich?
Chicken burgers, sandwiches, or fried chicken.
Nuggets. But do they sell, like, for example, a Big Mac and just put a different type of meat on it? Or do they just not call it a Big Mac at that point?
I'll say they have Big Mac here, but with chicken, like Big Mac chicken, something like this.
Big Mac chicken or Big Mac with chicken.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I'll have to look at it. I'm going to be in Delhi again in a couple of days, and maybe
but
there.
It's not really good. Like it's how it used to be. I had burger in like US McDonald's, and here it's very different.
So the US McDonald's just blows it away, and really good stuff.
Yeah, I like it. It's better than what we have. It's not good stuff. I don't know how good it is, but. It's better tasting than what we have here. Lettuce, if you'll say, it's more fresh and good. Huh. And it costs you more also over there. So the charge, like, it's cheaper here.
Well, yeah, that's another interesting thing I've noticed. For example, in Bolivia, which is a very cheap country too, There's no McDonald's in Bolivia, but there's Burger King, and the Burger King there is cheaper than it would be at home, but it's actually a pretty expensive restaurant for Bolivia. So it's not the most expensive in town, but definitely above average, and so a lot of people just can't even afford to eat there. So if you go to like Burger King in that country, you're kind of well off, actually, which is weird to think about, because in the U.S. that's like the lowest restaurant. That's where you go if you just have no money or just need something really fast. But it's not thought of as a high end restaurant.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing, right?
Yeah, and so is it more of a high end restaurant?
Not like high end nowadays, because the prices are like damn cheap. So.
Yeah.
Like this starting burger you can get for 20 rupees.
20 rupees?
Yeah.
For a burger?
I'll say 20, 30. I don't know exactly. But yeah, for a starting one.
That's really cheap.
Yeah, so it's like more...
That's for people listening, that's like a third of a dollar, 20 rupees.
Yeah.
Like 30 cents.
So a lot of youth and not only youth, like mostly in cities, it's mainstream restaurants where like you can go and have food, cheap food, not cheap, I'll say, like very normal food. So it's not like expensive thing, but it also depends upon the, well, say the different well, say economic class in India. So it's vastly, like it's very a lot
Okay.
So poor ones are like really poor.
Right.
Yeah. And the rich are like filthy rich.
Yeah, that's another eye-opening thing here. It's just I've just noticed India. Just everything seems to be so in your face, and part of it is the animals in the street and the garbage and the good things too. The street food is really great, but then the poverty is very much right in front of you here, and that's pretty sad. But there's just a large mixture of everything here. It's just such a stimulating country to be in. Just you don't even have to do anything really special. Just walk outside and look around, and there's just interesting things happening all the time. So I've really enjoyed it here in my month so far in India, and I hope I get to come back for a longer trip.
Yeah.
Maybe come back, visit you again.
India.
Yeah, well, that too. Come back to a different part. Maybe come back up here and actually do some climbing next time. Yeah. So we're gonna wrap up the show for now, and I want to thank you again for coming on, honey. It's been a really great conversation.
Thank you, Dan. Like it's a pleasure to meet you and then speaking.
Great. Do you want to just give people your website in case they stop by Manali and are interested in this deal that you're coming up with?
Yeah, they can like get the hang of deals and the events happening in Manali on manalipass.com.
Manalipass.com.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll put a link to that on the website then too, so people can look it up.
Thanks, Dan.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, you can visit my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. From there, you can sign up to get updates from this podcast delivered directly to your inbox. Remember, the Around the World podcast is all about meeting ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. Thanks for listening.